Morning, church. My name is Pete. I'm one of the ministry team here at DPC. My privilege to be able to come this morning and to just to open up God's word for us as we celebrate the cross of our Lord Jesus this morning at Easter time. We're going to read the Bible first together, and we're going to read from Romans chapter 5, so I'd ask you to open up Romans chapter 5. In the blue Bibles in front of you, it is on page 914. We're going to read from Romans chapter 5, just a few verses, but they're probably well-known verses you might have read before plenty of times or heard before. Romans chapter 5. We'll read from verse 1 through to 11. This is the Apostle Paul talking, and he says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only this is so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." Would you pray with me? And we're going to look at these verses together. Our Heavenly Father, we come now to these words from your servant Paul, Lord, that you've inspired for us to dwell on what you've done for us through the Lord Jesus. We pray that it might really sink into our hearts this morning, and as we reflect on the truth of Jesus and what he's done for us on the cross, that it might transform our hearts and our lives. We pray these things in his name. Amen. Well, I wonder if you had to sum up the Easter story in just a couple of words, I wonder what you'd say. You know, what is it that Easter, what's kind of fundamentally at the heart of the Easter story, of the gospel story that we celebrate at Easter time? You know, what is it that we need to be reminded of every year as we kind of celebrate Easter and the gospel story in a special way? You know, the gospel story, it's a story that is just a full, rich story. And there's so much that you could say about the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus and the resurrection. But I want to suggest this morning and over this weekend as we gather, just two kind of gospel words that I think do a good job of capturing the heart of Easter for us. Of course, there are so many other words that you could add to this. And in fact, the Bible is full of them. But I think these two words are kind of fundamentally what Easter is about. These words, grace and hope. Now you might think, you know, what's the point of trying to just capture all of summing the gospel up in two words? You know, we're not looking to kind of reduce the gospel down. We're not trying to limit the richness of the gospel, of course. But I think there is something helpful for us at times, just being able to capture the gospel, the essence, the fullness of the gospel message in some simple kind of concrete terms that are kind of memorable to us and meaningful, that kind of stick with us in daily life. So that for both Christians and for people who wouldn't call themselves Christians, the truth of the Easter story can really connect with our hearts and kind of stay with us and sink in, rather than what sometimes happens in everyday life and even at Easter. Sometimes the gospel message at Easter, just like it does at Christmas sometimes, can end up being a little abstract. It can be just a bunch of big words and concepts that kind of feel like they're disconnected from our reality. And that, you know, no doubt there are lots of big words and these rich kind of theological concepts when it comes to the gospel. But I reckon what we need sometimes is just to stop and to reflect on what is at the heart of the gospel message. What is it that we most need to be reminded of? I reckon that's what we celebrate at Easter, in the crucifixion and the resurrection. We reflect on God's grace and the hope that we have. I want to suggest that the heart of the Good Friday story that we celebrate today, the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, what we need to be reminded of again and again at Easter time is God's incredible grace. And so we're going to unpack this morning a bit more of what the kind of nature of God's grace and what it does for those who put their trust in Jesus. You know, if you've been around church for a while, you're probably pretty familiar with the whole story of the crucifixion. And we watched that video before, that Lego video, which was great. I'm sure my son loves Lego, Ollie. He would have loved that video. We watched that before, and it reminded us kind of the story of the kind of lead up to the crucifixion, where Jesus was hung on a cross and died. And I reckon whenever we encounter the story of the crucifixion, what we are really seeing when it comes down to it is a full picture of God's incredible grace to sinners. Now, this story of the crucifixion is told in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but in Luke's Gospel in particular, I love the way that Luke kind of recounts the crucifixion story. It's really vivid and helpful for us. And there we kind of see the grace of God on display in Jesus. In verse 33 of Luke chapter 23, we see that they crucify the Lord Jesus. Verse 35 to 39, the Jewish leaders and the people around him, they mock Jesus continually. At the end of the story, after it all happens, the people standing around, they've seen Jesus be killed, and they kind of beat their breasts and they take off, and they're really proud of their brutality. They're proud of their murder of Jesus. And yet Jesus is full of grace. Verse 34, he says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." To the criminal who hung beside him on the cross, these two criminals were there, one calling out insults and the other one calling out to him, saying, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered him, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." This story of the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus, it's a demonstration of the incredible loving grace of God through Jesus. And this incredible loving grace, it's what the Apostle Paul is kind of talking about in chapter 5. He really wants to emphasize it in his whole letter of Romans, really. He's writing to the church in Rome, and the theme of God's grace is kind of just weaved throughout the entire letter. But this well-known kind of section in chapter 5, I reckon it's really helpful for us to see a couple of things about God's grace. Now, Paul lays out for us the nature of God's grace through the death of Christ for us. And then he goes on to talk about what God's grace kind of achieves, what it does for those who trust in Jesus. And so we're going to look at these couple of things together, what God's grace is and what God's grace does. Reminding ourselves of the nature of God's incredible grace, and reminding ourselves of what the grace of God achieves for all those who come to him in faith. As I said before, Paul really emphasizes the grace of God in his letter to the church in Rome. He really wants to make sure they understand the full picture of God's incredible kindness to humanity through the work of Christ on the cross. And when it comes to these verses in chapter 5 from verse 6, what Paul describes here, even though he doesn't use the word, he's describing God's grace here. That through Jesus' death on the cross, God has been incredibly kind and generous to people who really don't deserve it. Read with me from verse 6. Paul says, "You see, at just the right time, while when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly." This is really grace in a nutshell here. That Christ went to the cross and he died for people who wanted nothing to do with him. Paul continues to expand on what grace looks like with this kind of really concrete example that I think connects well with us from verse 7. You know, very rarely, he says, will anyone die for a righteous person. In a righteous person, just someone that you're kind of on relationally really good terms with. You know, he says very rarely will anyone die for a person that you're on good terms with. Though, but you know, if a person is really good, someone might possibly dare to die. Now, for someone who is a good person, who is maybe fundamentally a good person who does good things, you might consider giving your life for them if it came down to it. But here's the thing about God's grace from verse 8. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Not while we were good people, righteous people, while we were sinners, enemies of God, Christ died for us. Paul says that God shows his incredible love for us by doing something remarkable, that, you know, something that as humans, it's unlikely that we would do. He shows his kindness and favour to people who ultimately were not worthy of his kindness and favour. This is God's grace on full display, giving the gift of his Son to sinful humans who have turned our back on him. And I reckon for most of us, we get, you know, kind of what a big deal this is, because we've been on the receiving end of this kind of kindness, this kind of favour from someone before, maybe plenty of times in our lives. You know, maybe it's been our parents or our grandparents, a friend, a best friend, or maybe even a complete stranger. You know, someone showing us kindness when in reality we've just been a jerk to them. Someone giving generously to us with their time, their money, whatever it may be, even though we have acted like they don't exist at times. And we've put ourselves first. This kindness, this favour, this grace is what God has poured out to people like you and me through the death of his Son on the cross for us. A death that we should have died because of our sin. Jesus comes and he takes our place. He takes our punishment. This is God's incredible grace. And you know, it's good to be reminded of the kind of nature of God's grace, what it is, his undeserved favour and kindness towards us through Jesus. It's good to be reminded of that. Yeah, but what is it that the death of Jesus on our behalf actually does for us? What does God's grace to us, poured out to us through Jesus, what does it kind of achieve for us through Jesus, for those who trust him? And Paul kind of goes on in this passage to talk about two things that I think are really incredible and really important for us to remember, especially at Easter time. It's important all the time, but we get to celebrate and remember these things, especially at Easter time. These two things Paul highlights is that God's grace justifies us and God's grace reconciles us. Now, I know these words, justify, reconcile, These sound like some real Christian jargon. What do these words even mean? And even if you're someone who has read the Bible a lot, maybe you've been a follower of Jesus for a while, you might read these words when you're reading the Bible or hear them, and you kind of just gloss over them, you skim over them, and they can start to lose some of their kind of meaning, some of their impact. Because they're not words that we kind of use in everyday life, are they? And so we're going to see what Paul's kind of getting at with these words, just to highlight what he's trying to say here, these two things, that God's grace justifies and it reconciles. And the first one is that God's grace justifies us. First of all, from verse 9, Paul says that God's grace through Jesus, it justifies us, which also means that we are saved from God's judgment. Verse 9, Paul says, "Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him?" And you might have heard this before, particularly if you have been around church for a while. This word justified, it's kind of a legal word, which kind of means, really means someone is kind of declared to be just or innocent. And so Paul says that the death of Jesus on our behalf, where his blood was spilled for us on the cross, this punishment Christ took, he took on our behalf so that now our sin is not counted against us anymore. And we can be called innocent before God. Not guilty of our sin, but innocent. And because of this innocence for our sin, we have been saved from the judgment for our sin. We've been saved from God's wrath against sin. The grace of God shown to us through Jesus, it justifies us. It declares us innocent of all the things that we have done against God, all the things that we have done that hurt him, and it saves us from the consequences of our sin once and for all. What incredible grace. You know, I wonder if you've ever had an enemy. This might be a dangerous question to ask. I wonder if you've ever had an enemy. You know, it's probably pretty rare for us to have really serious enemies, I think, in a pretty comfortable life. But you know, maybe you've had someone that you clash with at work. Yeah, maybe your mortal enemy is that dog that just bails you up against the fence every morning when you walk to work and scares the life out of you every time. Maybe your greatest enemy is that pile of washing up that you never quite seem to get through. But, you know, for someone, a person to be our enemy, you know, they'd really have to be someone that kind of stands in kind of direct opposition, total and complete kind of opposition to us, wouldn't they? Which, you know, it might happen, and it does happen at times, but it's probably pretty unlikely for us in most of our lives. You know, as Paul continues in this passage, though, he says that there was a time when we were enemies with God as humans. You know, the reality is that because of our sin, because of our rebellion against our Creator God, by nature, humans, we stand in opposition to God. In reality, we're enemies with God because of sin. But there is great news. In his kindness, God reconciles us to him. Through Jesus, he makes us friends instead of enemies. See what he says from verse 10. "For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only this, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." Through his death on the cross, this incredible expression of God's grace towards us, our Lord Jesus reconciles us to our God, our Maker. And it's a reconciliation, a repaired relationship that means so much more. It's such a full truth. And on Sunday, Dave's going to help unpack that a bit more for us. On Sunday, we're going to see that, you know, not only are we made right with God, declared innocent, not only is our relationship restored, but what that means is that through Jesus, we have hope. We have an incredible, secure hope. Hope of life with God for eternity. This incredible grace of God that he has shown to us through the death of his son. Paul boasts about it. He says it's something worth boasting about. And we can boast in what Christ has done for us, graciously taking our punishment for sin, declaring us innocent before God, so that we might be reconciled to him. Once enemies because of sin, now made friends because of the cross. Grace. Incredible grace. This is really what Good Friday is all about. The incredible kindness and generosity of our God poured out for us through the work of the Lord Jesus on the cross. Grace that deals with our sin and its consequences. Grace that restores our broken relationship with our Maker. You know, if you're here this morning and maybe you wouldn't call yourself a Christian or a follower of Jesus, you know, we are really glad that you're here with us. It's great to have you with us, and we want you to know that God's grace, his kindness, his undeserved favour is on offer to you today, for each one of us. God has dealt with all of your sin at the cross through his Son, and he invites you to come to him, to be reconciled to him, to know him deeply as you trust in the Lord Jesus as your Saviour and King. And for those of us here who already know Jesus, maybe you've been following him for a week, a month, a year, or 50 years. Let's not let Easter slide by without it making having an impact on us. Let's take a moment today, this Good Friday, to stop and just to be reminded in a fresh way, to be encouraged by the truth that our God has been incredibly gracious to us. He's forgiven our sin. He's embraced us as his children through the Lord Jesus and what he has done for us on the cross. This is his incredible grace. Let me pray. Our great God, we thank you and we praise you this morning for your amazing grace. Your kindness, your love, your generosity to us through the Lord Jesus that we do not deserve. And yet you give it anyway. We thank you that, Lord, you don't stand ready to just judge and throw the book at us, but you stand ready to pour out grace to us when we come to you. We thank you that we can come and find grace because of what you've done for us through the Lord Jesus. We pray these things in his name. Amen.